Please make your way in the sanctuary at this time, please. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Christ Community Church. Please overlook my voice. I think I have that junk that's going around. If you're a first-time visitor to our church, we welcome you. If you're a visitor that hasn't been in a long time, we still welcome you. I ask you, if you would, please, to look located on the chair in front of where you're sitting. There's a visitor's card. Would you please take a moment to fill out that card when the ushers bring the offering plate by? Just drop that card in the offering plate. We'd love to have a record of your attendance, please. Don't forget, our youth group is selling Christmas cards and Christmas calendars. There's a table located up front in the vestibule area. And all the proceeds from that, I believe, are going towards the purchase of the church van. Tonight is the women's ornament party at 5 o'clock here at the church. 5:30 will be the secret sister reveal. Reverse that. That's not what it says. No, it does too. I read it wrong. Okay. 5 o'clock, secret sister reveal. 5:30, the goodies, the party. Now we got it right. This coming Wednesday night, the 16th, Wednesday night children's classes are going Christmas caroling. They're going to be leaving the church at 6:30 p.m. They're going to the Grenada Living Center. That'll be a good time, and they'll be returning back to the church at 7:30 p.m. If you have any questions about that, just see Bert. The movie night for the Royal Ambassadors has been changed. It's been moved from Friday night, December 18th, to Saturday, December 19th. It'll be 7 p.m. here at the church. The admission price is going to be 3 cans of canned goods. You'll notice in your bulletins this morning there's a list that has prayer requests on it. These come from the Wednesday night prayer service that we have at the church. I would encourage you to be a part of that if you're not already. This gives you an idea of the folks that were mentioned on Wednesday night. And some of these have been mentioned other than Wednesday night, and they've been put on the prayer request. If you would please, you know, we would welcome you to join us in prayer for these folks that have a need. And we also keep a record of praise reports. When God answers these prayers, we record that also and share that back with you, because God is faithful when we pray. Yes, sir.
Real quick announcement. There is no children's drama practice today at 2. This is for the ladies. January 22nd and 23rd, we are having an overnight retreat. The details are coming, so just be watching the Facebook page, watch the bulletin. It's going to be The Armor of God by Priscilla Schreier. We're going to have a good time. The Facebook page says it starts at 12. That's not right. It's just because I couldn't change that. It'll be that evening, starting around between 5 and 7. We'll have people showing up between 5 and 6. At 7 o'clock, we are starting. There will be a fee, but be watching for that as well. And just a quick reminder again, Christmas party, 5 o'clock is Secret Sister. Bring your final gift, and if you want to be a secret sister, the drawing is tonight during that time. 5:30 is our party. Bring your gift, your ornament wrapped, and bring something to eat, because we always got to eat.
There was this little girl, and she walked to school daily. Excuse me. And this morning, the weather was kind of ominous looking. The sky was gray and cloudy. The clouds were moving back and forth. Just one of those days that looked like there was some bad weather coming in. And As the afternoon progressed, the weather got worse and worse, and soon there were flashes of lightning that flashed across the sky, and like a sword that just cut across, and the electrical charges could be seen. And the mother began to get worried about the little girl because she walked home from school every day. And so after a few moments of delay, when the little child should have been appearing, she didn't. So the mom, in her apprehension, she jumped in the car and took off looking for the little girl. As she got closer to her, she saw her walking down the street. The little girl would stop, look up at the sky and smile. A flash of lightning would come across the sky, then she'd walk a little bit farther. There'd be another moment, she'd stop and look up at the sky and smile. There'd be another flash of lightning. The mom pulled up the little girl. She said, "Honey," she said, "what in the world are you doing?" She said, "I'm smiling. God's taking my picture." So may God bless you. Amen.
Well, I guess it's time for us. I was looking for Brother John to get up here. Let's all stand and get started this morning. We're going to do several Christmas songs. It's that time of year again for that. I always love this time of year. I hate what it does to my pocketbook, but I love this time of year. So, time we got set aside to worship and praise our Lord Jesus, because this is his birthday. Oh, come all you faithful. A child has been given, the King of our freedom. Sing, for the light has come. This is Christmas. Come and adore Him and bring gifts before Him. Joy to the world, worship the Son. This is classic one here. We got to sing Away in a Manger. If y'all would stand with us, we do this. Lay down His sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where you lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh.
Be near.
I think maybe most of you are familiar with the, I know there have been a lot of Christmas movies made about, you know, with the nativity scene and everyone, but you know the one, the nativity story that, I guess it's probably 6 or 7 years old now, that the one, the last one that came out, I just think is one of the most well-made. I love that movie. We watched it. Me and the kids watched it, I guess about a week ago. And I enjoy watching that every year. To me, it makes Mary and Joseph and what they went through, it just makes them so real, and it depicts their emotions and how they must have felt and what it must have been like during that time. Anyway, when we watched it about a week ago, kids were with me, and I kept pausing it to explain some things to them to make it make more sense about why certain things were happening and why. You know, for instance, like arranged marriage, you know, why? I said, you know, Mary and Joseph, they didn't go out on dates, you know. Mary's father decided. And so I would pause the movie and I would explain things to them and they would ask questions. But there's one scene at the end after Mary has the baby and she's holding baby Jesus there in the cave. And the angel had appeared to the shepherds. There was this one older gray-haired shepherd. He looked really dirty. And I'm just imagining, you know, as a mother myself, when you're holding that newborn, you know, mothers get that. They get that protective stance. You know, they're holding that baby and they're kind of huddled over it and like that. And that Mary has baby Jesus. And the shepherd comes in. Excuse me, I'm really hoarse. But the shepherd comes in and he doesn't really say anything. But it's the look on his face. He looks at Mary almost like he's asking permission, like, can I see him? And this look crosses her face. You know, for a moment, you think she doesn't want to show her newborn baby to this dirty man. And then she kind of thinks about it, and she turns to show the baby to all the shepherds that have come in. And what she says always makes my breath catch. She says, you know, because his eyes kind of brighten up, like he can't believe that she's letting him, this dirty man, see this baby. And she says, he is for all mankind. And he is. And this last song we're going to do is Christmas Offering. And, you know, we always talk about the wise men, right, kids? You know that the wise men brought gifts to baby Jesus. We always talk about that. Part of this song says, I bring an offering of worship to my King. We bring an offering, and it's our worship. It's how we praise the Lord, and that's our offering that we bring.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star. While angels sang to lowly shepherds, three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. Worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. Praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
It's already been good. I'm gonna try. All right, I got to hold on. Stay right. Yeah, I think I'm here again. I'll be right back after this commercial break. That's right. Thank you. This church service is being brought to you by Animal Crackers. I don't know who makes the animal crackers, but that'd be a good sponsor, I think, for our church if we were ever going to look for some sponsorship. And it'd be all right. Anyway, so glad that you're all here. We're going to have Friends Church right now. So if you're ready, ready, show us how to walk now. One, first through sixth grade, ready, break. And it's at, and the little ones, too. Yeah. Four-year-olds through sixth grade. Here they go. We just bring them in here to show off. Look at them. They're all right, aren't they? I'm just glad that they're here. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9. It's kind of a continuation from last week, but if you weren't here last week, that's all right. I'm going to fill you in, all right? We're talking about a bright future. We're talking about the one who's going to make it happen. And that's what the scripture is about today. And the title of it is, There is No One Like Jesus. And I'm going to tell y'all, you can go all around the world. You can read every religious, spiritual book that's ever been written. You can talk to every guru and climb every mountain and speak to every cross-legged hermit up there. And you ain't going to find no one like Jesus. Okay? It just ain't going to happen. He's a one of a kind. Can I tell you, he don't have anybody that's even next to him. He don't have anyone beside him, beneath him, or near him. It's just him. And y'all, we fall so short. Preachers and servants of the Lord and Christians, and we are so flawed and we are so failed, and as we try to represent what Christ looks like. But can I tell you something? It's not about us being perfect. It's about us knowing the one who is perfect and never failing to tell people that there is no one like Jesus. Amen. Okay? That's what it's about. I don't know, like, it's so weird. I want to say thank you. Thank you very much. Curl my lip a little bit. Yeah, I'm gonna try not to do that. Let's read the scripture. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Very familiar this time of year. It says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father God, Lord, as we hear your word, would you instruct us? Will you fill our hearts with the goodness and the glory of Christ? There's none like him. He is our hope. He's our Savior and our Lord. And Father, would you help us just to be enamored? This time of year, we sing that song, Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him. And may that be a factual experience for us today, that we would come and adore Jesus Christ, the one, the only, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the beginning and the end. And Father, we love you. Thank you for how you love us so much. Help us just right now to focus on what your word says about our Lord Jesus Christ. Take all the other stuff away. Help us to have a time of peace and focus right here in this place. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let me tell you, Jesus is the gift from God. We can talk about God's blessings. We can talk about God's gifts in the plural, because he blesses us and he gifts us. But can I tell you, the epitome of God's gift, the epitome of God's blessing, is none other than his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift. That's the greatest of blessings. Don't come to God looking for something less than Christ when he will offer you Christ. Don't be satisfied coming away with a peaceful, easy feeling when you can be filled with all the fullness of God through the Spirit, through Christ. He is the gift, okay? Don't ever aim for something lower. Don't let somebody, not even yourself, convince you that you just need a financial blessing right now. that you just need this healing blessing right now, that you just need this and that. Those are all great, and we all go through times when we need finances, when we need healing. But can I tell you what's better than them all is Christ. Have the comfort of Christ through your sickness, through your poverty, through your illness. Have Him with you. It's better to be sick with Jesus than to be healed, claiming your healing, but not being near to God. He is the real deal gift from God. And let's look at this verse. We're going to look at it maybe a little more in depth in chapter 9, verse 6. It does this repetition. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a child, a son is given. A child is born, unto us a son is given. One of those ways the child is born is just one of those blessings that happens day in and day out. Today there'll be somebody born. Children get born all the time. It seems like they're always getting born in my house. You know, and there's another one, and where'd that one come from? And there goes one, here they are. We're getting surrounded. They've more than doubled Sarah and I now. They got us. You know, we've went from man-to-man defense to zone, and we're just trying to keep things. You know, a child is born. It's a blessing. It's a hallelujah thing. It's an amen. It points us to the heritage, to the lineage, to the family. Unto us a child is born. Into the Jewish family that Isaiah was speaking to, there's going to be a child born, a special child, because it's one that needs to be declared, but he's going to be born. And throughout the scripture, we know that there's going to be some special children born. There's going to be a seed of Abraham who's going to be born, who's going to bless all nations. There's going to be a seed of the woman who's going to be born, who's going to crush the head of the serpent. So this is a reference to the special child who's going to be born. But the next phrase doesn't just parallel the first. It takes it a step further. Unto us a son is given. This doesn't just look at the birth process and the family and the regular processes of life. This looks at the source. Where did he really come from? What he really is. He's a gift. He's been given. Doesn't that strike something in your mind? The fact that there was a son given. The New Testament takes this simple passage or that simple thought of a son given and elaborates it into the most well-known of verses in the church, and rightly so, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Father loved, so he gave a son, and it ties right back into here. A son was given. It looks at the gift. It looks not just as a child, but a special born male child. This is the son, the heir, the one who carries the very essence of God within him. This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the son who will be born to the virgin that Isaiah just prophesied in chapter 7 and verse 14. This is the Messiah, son. This is the Christ. You know, the first one just says there's a special son that's going to be born. This second one alludes to the fact that that one is the one. Have you found the one yet? Sounds so weird, so cliche. You know, it's like on a dating site. You call a Big John dating site and you'll find the one. The special one that makes everything right and fulfills all your... Listen, God gave as a gift to you and me the one. The one. The Christ, the Messiah. You're not going to find it on a dating site or in the produce aisle or in church or at the bar, at the club. The one is Christ. He can fill your heart like nobody else can. He's a gift. He's a gift. He was given. Oh, what do we need to do when we've been gifted so graciously? Do we need to ask for the receipt in case we want to see if it doesn't fit, we can return it? What should we do when we receive such an unspeakable, unimaginable, unimaginable, wonderful gift? How should we respond? Have you ever been gifted in such a way that it just humbles you? It is more than you ever could deserve. It's more than you could pay back. It's more than you thought the person who gave it to you even loved you in the first place. And it just kind of brings you to this point where you say, all I really can do is decide to receive the gift. I can't put conditions on it. I don't want to lose it. All I can do is really receive it and let it humble me. I've been humbled. I've been humbled by human gifts. When we've been in dire straits, I've seen people come through. I've seen God come through people and give humbling, generous gifts. But I gave my life to Christ when I realized the gift I was given in the Son of God. When I realized that gift, it demanded my life. It commanded my all, my everything. Not just to say thank you and I'm going to try to live better and I'm going to move on now, but it said thank you. My life now revolves around you, around this gift, around what you've done. You own me. And I don't say that in a bad way. Your gift has become so weighty in my life that everything I do, I want it to reflect upon the one who gave me this extraordinary gift of his Son. That's what we're talking about when it says, unto us a son is given. Who would not give everything to spare their son? But when God gave his Son, he didn't spare anything else, but gave all to us in him. That's why we preach. That's why we teach. That's why we come to church. That's why we do these things. That's why I'm one of those crazy believers who really believes and goes out and tells other people. That's why. Because it's awesome in every way that word can be used that a son was given unto us. This next part says, the government will be upon his shoulder. I don't want to get too sticky at this point into politics, but let me venture off a little bit and say this. We as human beings have done a crummy job in running the world and the governments of the world. And somehow or another, we thought we got smarter with technology, yet in the last century, we killed more people than anybody anywhere ever thought imaginable through our technology. We wipe people out. We stomp the poor, the needy, the helpless. If you can't make it, we have that social Darwinism where we just snuff people out and crush them. And I'm going to tell you something. We've done a miserable job ruling this world. And one of the greatest gifts that God gives us in Christ is this. The government will someday fully rest on his shoulders, not ours. The gift of the lordship and the leadership of Christ. That's exactly what this is speaking of. He will take the burden on. If we go into this context a little bit earlier in this passage, we see in chapter 4, or verse 4 of chapter 9, just right above where we're reading, it says, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of the oppressor. Earlier, God says, I will take the burden off of your shoulder. Two verses later, it says, this special son who is given, he'll take the burden on his shoulder. What y'all couldn't tote, he's going to tote. Now, that's just in leadership. His government one day and his kingdom will be the kingdom without end. His law enforcement, I'm looking back at Adam Eubanks, is going to be the final law enforcement. I mean, he's going to be the one who takes it on and does it right. It's not going to get right without him. But can I tell you something else? You and I personally, we don't get right without him either. We could talk about the government not doing well and people not leading in the government well. How have we done in our own personal lives? How are you going to get back to a place of holiness? How are you going to get back to a place where you're right with God, where your conscience is clear, where your sin is washed away? How are you going to get there? What kind of religious burden are you going to take onto your neck to get you back into the place where you're right with God? You can't. He takes that burden on himself too. He came to us. He did what we could never do. That's part of the gift. That's part of the gift. It says, you can be made right in what I have done, not in what you're going to do someday. We believe so strongly in our potential. We hope in our potential. many of us think, well, one day everything's going to be better and all this stuff. Can I tell you, the day is only going to get better the more you believe in Christ and that He's already paid it all. And the more you chase your potential and what you can do and all this, and it's you focused, you're not going to get there. Let Him take that burden off your shoulder. Trust Him. Rest in Him. Rely on Him. Ask Him for help. He's the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can't get better than that. It's an awesome thing. Rely on Him. Jesus is the gift of God. Jesus is the name of God. When we speak to Jesus, we're not speaking to someone lesser than God. We're not speaking to someone other than God. We're not speaking to another God. We're speaking to God. God the Son. God the gift. Jesus is His name, but He has other names. This is how we know that Jesus' name is equated to the name of God. Listen to what He'll be called. And I'm going to pair this up into four names. I know in most of our Bibles it'll say wonderful, then it has a comma, and it'll say counselor, comma, and then it'll have, you know, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But I believe that He is saying wonderful counselor as one title. And that's what we're going to look at first, this first title, wonderful counselor. That word wonderful means this: you can't touch it. You can't touch it. You can't explain it. It's a God thing. Y'all ever heard of a God thing? You know, when all of a sudden all human reasoning, logic is defied, something happened that you just can't explain and you just go, all right, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. It has the idea of supernatural. It has the idea of beyond your ability. So when He's called wonderful counselor, this means, again, that He is the right one to lead an eternal kingdom. He knows. He knows the deep things. He knows the wise things. He knows what direction is good, what direction is bad. He has the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because He's wonderful, supernatural, wisdom, perfectly wise in what He says. Can I tell you, He gives us His word, which is also just a sign of His book. You know, counselors often write books. One day Shane's going to write a book called Vinerisms or something like that. He might have a whole series, Listen to the Vine. You know, it's something like that. I think my favorite one is going to be Shane. And, you know, but he's going to have this books out that, you know, that describe his theory. I was putting my books on my shelf, and I got these books by Jay Adams and Larry Crabb and all these people, you know, and I got all this stuff and all these books and by all these different counselors. And they're, man, there ain't nothing wrong. They got good ideas. They got great plans, and they got great advice and all this stuff, but it falls short of perfect. But can I tell you, the wonderful counselor named Jesus Christ gave us His book, and it's called the Holy Book. And that's what the Bible means, is book. It's called the Holy Book. The Holy Book has wise counsel from beginning to end, top to bottom, and all the way through. The Holy Book is the book that all real good counseling is based on in the first place anyway. So let the wonderful counselor who's given us His Holy Book impart perfect wisdom to you and me. That's part of what He offers to do. And it's just part of what His name is. Now, this next one, it says His name will be called Mighty God. I don't know what kind of wiggle room anybody might think in who it is we're talking about when His name shall be called Mighty God. And the idea of that word mighty in there actually has to do like with a warrior, like a hero, like someone who has the ability to come in and save the day. When we were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, I don't know the rest of the song, but Jesus came diving in and then love lifted me, and that's a song somewhere in our hymnal, okay? But that's the idea, someone who knows how to save the day. Y'all, listen. You need somebody to save the day in your soul, in your heart. And there ain't but one person who can do that, and that's the mighty God. This Son who's given is called God. And I'm going to tell you something. In a lot of countries, during the time that Isaiah wrote this, they may have made some really extravagant pronouncements about their future kings and kingdoms. You know, they might have made some really outrageous claims on who they are and what they're doing and all those things. But Isaiah, the prophet of God in Israel, wasn't going to call somebody mighty God unless they was mighty God. You understand what I'm saying? This wasn't just any old pagan country or nation in the midst of the Middle East. This was Israel. This is the prophet Isaiah, and he says this one's going to be called Mighty God, the one that if he don't save the day won't be saved. We depended on him that way, Mighty God. Another name for him is Everlasting Father. And this Everlasting Father, it points to the perfect love with which he rules and reigns. He doesn't rule like a king who is unattached, who doesn't care. You know, one of the greatest things that I like to think of when it comes to Jesus is that he died to save us before he lived to rule us. You know, you just need to put that in your thinking cap. He demonstrated his love for us on the front end. He didn't ask us just to trust, hey, just trust me. One of these days I'll take care of your needs. One of these days I'll take care of, you know, the things going on in your life. One of these days I'll do something for you. He came and he did it. He says, I've done it. Everybody else is talking. I've done it. And I'm going to treat you like you're my children. I'm going to treat you like you're mine. Like I love you, like I want the best for you. Some of y'all may grew up in homes where you didn't have the best dad. And maybe when you think of what it means to be a father, everlasting father, you're like, oh man, I don't know if I'd want my old man to be my old man forever. But can I tell you this? God is perfect in his love. He's perfect in his correction. He's perfect in his discipline. He's perfect in what you need and who you are. He's perfect, and you don't want him to change out. You don't want us to have elections for God's position of leadership. You don't want there to be any impeachment. You don't want any other, because they're all going to serve themselves. This is the Father who lays down his rights to love his kids right. That's that title, Everlasting or perfect, Everlasting Father, who's perfect in love. Then the last title, the last thing it says that he'll be called is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. We spoke about this some in our Sunday school class today. If you don't come to Sunday school yet, come on. We got room for you. We'll make room for you. It starts at 9:30. We're going to add some more classes here after the new year, but just come on. Plan on coming at 9:30 to Sunday school. We're in Psalm 72, and Psalm 72 talks about the amazing attributes of heaven's true king, the one who's going to rule on earth forever and ever one day. And in there, it says, there's an abundance of peace. In the verses that we're reading today, in verse 7, after it says he's the Prince of Peace, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He has an abundance of peace, a treasury of peace, silos full of peace, storehouses and warehouses of peace for you and for me. And he is the one who hands it out. He's the one who says, here it is, it's for you. He's the one who's the boss over it. He's the authoritative one who gives it. He's the prince of it. He's the ruler of it, the governor of it. He is that one who can say, you can have peace between God and your soul right now. You can have peace. In your own mind and heart, you can have peace. He's the one who not only gives it out, he's the one who makes it. In Colossians chapter 19 and 20, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says he made peace at the cross by his blood. So not only is he the Prince of Peace, as in charge of giving it, he has the authority to give it, but he makes it. Did y'all know that? Peace is manufactured. We just want it to happen sometimes. We want it just to fall out of the sky. Peace doesn't just happen. It's made. And it was made by Christ on the cross. And the more you stick to Christ and the cross, the more you experience the peace of God, because he has an abundance of it. And the further you go away from Christ and the cross, you will know, because you will become a fearful, fretful, handshaken, woeful soul who needs to get back towards Christ, back to the cross where peace exists, and the ruler, the Prince of Peace, is ready to give it out freely, abundantly, wonderfully, in a way that you and I cannot understand. You draw near to God, he will draw near to you. That's what it says in James chapter 4, verse 8, and he will give you peace. Part of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Y'all like, I didn't know that one, but I figured you could get that one. You know, that was easy. And he has it for us. He's the ruler of it. He has the authority to give it. In John chapter 1, it says this, that to all who believe in him, he gave the authority to become the children of God. He's got that kind of authority because he's the prince. He's the ruler of it. He's got it. If you need it, he has it. And he can give it to you. He's the Prince of Peace. He's perfect in victory. In chapter 9 and verse 5, we see this victory that has come about. Part of the joy is the victory, the peace for every warrior's sandal or boot from the noisy battle, and all the war uniforms and garments that have been rolled in blood and stained from war will be used for nothing but burning and fuel for fire, because there will be a perfect peace, a peace where it like surrounds you. It's like the Jewish word shalom. Can y'all say shalom? But we're in Grenada, so we're going to say shalom, y'all. All right, ready? On three. One, two, three. Shalom, y'all. If God ever lets us take a trip to Israel, we got to remember to say that. It just cracks some folks up over there. We're like, shalom, y'all. They're like, ha, ha, ha. Anyways, we can bring joy to the world that way. Shalom has to do with a peace that is so thick, it's just like you can feel it. You're surrounded by it. It's like being almost encased in it. It's where there's not a looming battle. There's not, I'm going to tell you, I think the perfect peace ultimately that God's going to give, there's not even bills anymore to pay. There's not the anxiety of, am I going to make it? Or what's going to happen with my kids? And what's going to happen to the, and we get all worried and we get fretful. And the peace that God is going to bring through Christ eliminates all of that. Now, I think we can walk in a lot of that today. We choose to not draw from his endless account of peace, but I believe he has it for us in abundance, in abundance. Lastly, I want you to see Jesus is the ruler God promised. Jesus is the ruler that God promised. Every time in this verse, this word government, it was used in verse 6, it says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It's only two times that word, exactly that word in the Hebrew is used in the Bible, is in these two verses. And has the idea of like the empire, the kingdom, the dominion. It's going to rest on his shoulders. It also will have no end, and the peace of it will have no end. And can I tell you that the Bible promises an endless ruler? A ruler who will sit on the throne of David, who will never be, you know, pulled out of office or need to be reelected or fall by scandal. You know, we're not going to hear the dirt that one day that, oh no, you know, the Lord was up there and he got involved. I don't know what kind of scandal to attribute to the Lord, and I'm not going to, but he's not going to be taken down by any moral failure. He's not going to be taken out because he just became, you know, out of touch with his constituents. He's there. He's the promised leader and ruler that God said would bring an unending peace. The best rulers in the world can hope to do good in the short bit of time that they're in office. God promised a leader and a ruler who would have an office without end, and that's Christ. There is none like Jesus when it comes to ruling. And again, it says he will fulfill God's promises. And I want you to think about this. There was a promise that was made to King David that he would not fail to have a throne on a king on the throne, that there was going to be a child that came from David who would rule over his kingdom, who would order it and establish it. And that's a promise that God made. God fulfills his promise in Christ. All of his promises are fulfilled in Christ. If you've ever gone to the scripture and read something and said, wow, I wish that would happen to me, it can and it will in Christ. It's all fulfilled. It's all fulfilled. And he's going to do it right. When it says that he's going to establish it, it says it'll be established in justice. Judgment and justice. Those words have the idea of righteousness and grace. A righteousness and a grace. When it says he'll establish it in justice, it's going to be right. Sometimes people think of Christ this way. He's done really good, so now God will kind of close his eyes and he'll just let things go and run amok. But he won't. He'll do it right. There's some people in this room who have suffered injustice. And you know what it feels like to have a loved one taken from you. You know what it's like to have been robbed or beaten or abused or criminalized or marginalized and all these things. And can I tell you, there will not be one case, not one, that won't be handled justly through the government of the promised King, Jesus Christ. All of them will be. You may not see it on this earth, but can I tell you, it will all be handled. It will be handled with justice. He does it right. Want to know one of the reasons why I'm proud to be a Christian and I lift Jesus up? It's because he does it right. I'm never going to be ashamed of how he operated or what he did do or what he didn't do because he does it perfect. I love him. Do y'all love that about him? I love that about him. I love that he's going to establish this with grace. From that time forward, it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will establish this. It's going to make it happen. In that word zeal, it can also be spelled out jealous. There's a way that God is jealous for us, that he loves us, that he claims us. And can I tell you, that's just grace. He's not asking you and I to do but believe in him, to come along with him, to submit to him, but it's his zeal. He's going to accomplish this. Truth be told, how often do you grow cold in your relationship with Christ? How often does your mind slip away from the plan and the program and the commission of God? We grow, man, we rise and we fall. We're so fickle. We'll be on fire for God. It's Sunday morning. The preacher's on fire for God right now. I was studying this stuff out, and I got so fired up about Jesus and to be able to just preach straight Jesus to you. I'm still fired up. But what about Tuesday and Wednesday after I've had to, you know, run around after my kids and do all this stuff? I might be at a low point, like, oh, really? I'm praying the scripture, even so, come, Lord Jesus, you know, and just ready just to like go, oh. But you know what? This is not, God's plan is not based on how hot you feel towards God right now or in the future. It's not based on how excited you are about Jesus. It's not based on all those things. It's the zeal of the Lord. And can I tell you, the zeal of the Lord doesn't never grow cold towards what his son has bought through his blood. The zeal of the Lord will never grow cold toward establishing an eternal, beautiful bride for Jesus Christ. The zeal of God will never grow cold for seeing peace and justice and righteousness and mercy and grace flowing like river water on this earth. The zeal for God will never stop until all that he promised and planned through his word is fully accomplished. He doesn't ever slow down. He doesn't ever go, well, I just need a vacation. I'm bored of this stuff. He is God, and he will make it happen. And I am so privileged to tell you about it. It ends with one more name. He calls him the Lord of hosts. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. It's hard to put that title into our language. The idea of hosts, a lot of times we think it means armies, and it does. But it just means this. He is operating through every means available, accessible, and in existence to bring about his right purpose in this place. That's what it means that he's the Lord of hosts. It means he's utilizing everything from the farthest reaches of the galaxy. He is utilizing whatever it is that's out there for his redemptive purpose right here in Grenada, Mississippi. From the highest height to the deepest depth, the Lord of hosts calls upon whomever, whatever he wants, because he is the Lord of all things, the Lord Almighty, and he's calling it to bear on you and me that his purpose might be accomplished. That's what that is. That's whose zeal we're counting on. I'm going to tell you, I feel good. I feel good about what he's going to do in my life, in this church, in this world. He will get the glory. Now look, you might say, well, I heard in the Bible it's going to get bad. It may get bad. But I'm going to tell you who we know. Who we know has no darkness, no bad in him. Stick with Christ. Stick with his plan. It's going to succeed. You'll never regret putting your faith in Jesus Christ. You'll never regret that whatsoever. There is none like Jesus. We're going to have our time of invitation right now. So if you would, just close your eyes, bow your heads. Listen to this. I've been preaching. I'm so excited. You don't have to be as excited as I am. You'll never be as excited as God is. But I wonder this. Have you acknowledged Jesus as the one and only in your life? The title of this sermon is, There is None Like Jesus. I wonder, who does he compete for in your heart? Do you have others? It don't matter. It's loved ones, ideas and thoughts of your own, who you are. Do you compete in your heart for who's Lord? Because can I tell you, there's really no competition. There's none like Jesus. He's the wonderful counselor. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Lord of hosts. There is none like him. Sooner or later, you're going to pay allegiance to him. I promise. Because the scripture promises. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But can I ask if you've done that already? Or are you going to wait until the glory shines around you? You have no longer your free choice and will to bow your knee, but you will be bowed. And you no longer will have the right to confess Christ as Lord, but you will, through sure presence of greatness, confess him as Lord, whether you want to or not. Can I tell you? The scripture says, do it now. While it's today, while you have the opportunity to glorify him through your own freedom of choice, would you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord today? If you already know him, if you're already a Christian, acknowledge him as your Lord today. What do you think? You just one day said he's my Lord and then every other day you don't acknowledge him? Acknowledge him today. But if you never have bowed your knee, if you've never bowed your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to be your everything, don't wait till it's too late. I've tried to present from the scripture the best I could that there is none like him. You let the Spirit of God do his work now. And if you need to confess him as your Lord and Savior, don't you hesitate, not one minute. This time is for you, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you do your work through your Spirit. Your word's been preached. Christ has been lifted up. Now, Lord, we ask that you would draw all people to yourselves. Lord, if there's someone here who needs for the first time to bow their knee, bow their heart, and confess you as their Lord and Savior, to acknowledge there is none like you, Father, would you help them take that step of faith? Even if they have to use the words that I've presented here and say, Jesus, there's none like you, will you be the Lord of my life? Father, whatever it is, would you help them? Would you lead them? Would you work in this body of people who are gathered here right now? And Lord, we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You come now. It's your time. If you need to pray with me, I'll be available up here. But you just come and do what God would have you to do.
Oh,
trust him in his presence.
Sometimes I come up here just to encourage Keisha. You know, she sings a little more powerful for pastors, you know, near, you know, on stage. And y'all, Jesus is the real deal. There's none like him. And we need to make sure our hearts comply and conform to that reality rather than asking him to be something that fits us. Let's make sure we fit him. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward to take up the morning offering. And as they do, I'm going to pray for us. Nate won the best looking usher award, best dressed usher, so we just recognize that. Johnny was a close second, but he just lost. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for this time, and Lord, we do love you, and we give you all the praise. There is none like Jesus, and we want to take up even this offering for his glory and for his honor, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Nah. Did it on purpose? No, I didn't. But anyway, so glad that y'all are here. Thank you. You know, listening to that, it says, what child is this? It's Jesus. There's a psalm in 24. It says, who is this King of glory? It's Jesus. When you start thinking, what is this all about? It's Jesus. You know, so just go out with Jesus on your mind and on your heart and on your lips too, okay? And I don't know. I think that's all we have to say. I'm looking back in the back. Yes, sir. I can't hear what you're saying. No class tonight for the youth. All right. That'll be all right. The women are having the ornament party. All right. We have Wednesday night church at 6:30. Y'all come on. We're having it in here. We're starting to do some musical stuff, which right now consists of me taking out a hymnal and reading different parts of things. But we hope to advance from there. Just letting you know. Okay? Anyways, love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for, again, how you love us. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we give you all the praise. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ready.